On this episode of Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska, one woman from Florida recounts her first winter season driving a tour bus through an epic blizzard on the Hull Road.
I need to get up this hill, and I need to do it in a whiteout and at night. And on top of all these things, normally we kind of get it going so we can get some momentum to go up this hill. And I'm going about 5 miles an hour. And I'm like, okay, we can do it. Okay. And we're starting to climb up this hill. And the really great thing about the modern day trucks and coaches that are on the road is they're a lot more powerful, they're a lot stronger, but they also have a lot of really fancy safety features. Like, if your engine gets too hot, it will automatically turn off. And I know this, and I learned this the hard way in training on a different hill. So I'm thinking about this, and I am keeping a very close eye on my meter as it goes into the very hot water, and I'm like, come on, baby, come on. We just need to get up this hill. Come on, come on.
The Little Tour Bus That Could, up next on Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska. I'm Rob Prince. Well, our November 2019 live show was amazing. It was definitely our biggest show yet, with a crowd of about 900 people. We had a lot of fun, too. I got to make an epic entrance in my new spacesuit. Yes, there's nothing wrong with your speakers. I did say spacesuit. We also had local celebrity Curry the Goat on stage, who was quite a hit. We'll have pictures and videos of the event up on our Facebook page if you'd like to see what all went down. We also, you know, had some incredible stories, and I'm going to share one of them with you today. Sarah Manriquez shared this amazing true story about her experience driving the Hull Road as a tour bus driver her first year up here in Fairbanks. For those of you not familiar with the Hull Road, technically it's the 414-mile-long Dalton Highway, and it runs from Fairbanks north to Prudhoe Bay right across the Arctic Circle. It's called the Hull Road because truck drivers use it year-round to haul equipment to and from the oil field. It's unpaved, pretty wild, and popular with tourists who want to see the majestic landscape of the North Slope and cross into the Arctic Circle. I can tell you from personal experience, it can be a challenging road to drive on a beautiful summer day, but what is it like in an epic blizzard? Well, Sarah Manriquez can tell us.
I first moved to Alaska a little over 7 years ago, and when I came, I wanted to have an Alaskan job. And I didn't really know what that meant, but when I got here, I found home in being a tour guide. And not just any tour guide. I was hanging with the big boys on the ice road up north on the Hull Road, and I was operating a 25-passenger coach to the Arctic Circle and beyond, and I was doing it year-round. Now, I had pretty limited winter driving experience when I very first came to Alaska. I had moved from Tampa, Florida. Before that, I lived in New Mexico. And before that, I grew up on an island in Central America. So, to say the least, there was an immense amount of training that happened before I hit the road with guests in my vehicle. And the company that I was with, they're the safest guides on the road, and their driving record was impeccable. And I was a little nervous I might change that. I was coming on board in the winter time, and everything that could possibly go wrong on my tours did. And, you know, there's certain things that you can train for and some things you cannot. As many of you guys may have come up the Hull Road, you'll know that winter can sometimes surprise you. So one of the days that I was headed up the road, we stopped all these different ways between Fairbanks to Arctic Circle, and Arctic Circle is our turnaround point. And so we have a visit to the homestead in Joy, and we see the Trans-Alaska Pipeline along the Hull Road, and we cross the mighty Yukon River and stand on a frozen ice road and go sledding, and then eventually we get to the Arctic Circle, and we spend the whole day journeying to get there. And there's a particular part of the road that's really a favorite spot for me, and it's right before you actually get to the Arctic Circle. And on this particular day, it was pretty cold. It was negative 40, and I had 25 passengers on a 25-passenger coach, and I had people from all over the world on my vehicle. I had doctors from Michigan, I had newlyweds from Australia, I had a family from Brazil, and a bunch of people in between. And this particular area that I love to stop in, there's a pullout, and it's kind of Arctic tundra area. It's just rolling hills for miles and miles and miles. And on a clear day, it feels like you can see forever. When you look north, you can see the Brooks Range. You can also see the Ray Mountains. And if you look really close, you can see the Arctic Circle, and you can even see the dotted line across the landscape. And so this is a favorite spot for me. And when you get to this part on the road, usually it's about like sunset time. So it's right around 4:30 and it's winter sunset. So it's those beautiful pastel colors fill the sky. And we were getting there right around that time. And also this area is called Finger Mountain for those of you who've been north. And there's these granite tours that jut out of the landscape. And so the area that I want to pull over in is just this perfect viewpoint that can see everything. And I'm noticing that there's quite a bit of wind on this particular day. I can feel it pushing against the coach. I can hear it whistling outside of the vehicle. And inside the vehicle, I can see what the temperature is. I can see that it's cold. But as a rookie, I can't quite tell how windy is windy. So we pull over at this pullout, and I know that it's pretty cold, so I'm like, all right, guys, they get the talk about keeping their gloves on, keeping their jackets on. Photos would be nice, but frostbite isn't, so let's keep bundled up. And normally on these types of stops, people sometimes stay on the vehicle. Not everyone is really excited about negative 40. And this particular group was not the case at all. Every single person was like, let's do it. I'm like, okay, this is great. So I push the button to open the coach door, and it doesn't open. I'm like, push, push, push. And it's an air-powered door, so all you have to do is push it, and it just automatically comes open. Meanwhile, I almost have an audience of people watching me try and open the coach door, and they're waiting, they're all in their gear, they have their face masks on, and I'm like, I'm a good guide. And this was about my third time on the road. And so at one point, I sort of get near the door, and I'm giving it a nice, good body slam. And as soon as I get just the tiniest bit of that door to crack open from the vehicle, it flings open and slams against the coach. And it occurs to me in that moment, it's not that the door was inoperable, it's that the wind is so strong outside that it actually was pinning the door closed. And I thought, well, they're ready, so here we go. And I'm a little bit nervous. Had I known this was the wind strength, I probably wouldn't have taken them outside, but you know, they're in for an Alaskan experience. So we get out, and in this particular area, it's pretty windswept normally, particularly if the winds are high. So it's hard to tell how deep the snow is. And as we go to this trail, this whole little trip should take about 15 minutes, including the bathroom. And I make my first step and go right into the snow. And it goes right up to about my thigh. And I'm 5'9", so that's deep. And so as we sort of start trudging through the snow to get up to this viewpoint, the wind is so strong. It's pushing against my entire body, and I'm actually leaning into the wind just to keep myself upright. And I kind of look over my shoulder to gauge what's happening behind me. And all I can see is the tops of people's heads, because they too are leaning into the wind just to kind of stay up. And so I'm like, okay, good choices today. And so we get up to the top of the hill, and everyone's kind of stoic. You can't see anyone's face, just the slits of their eyes with their mask. And we kind of all look at each other, and we nod. And I'm like, let's go back. And so then we trudge back down. And you know, it should have taken us 15 minutes, ended up taking us about an hour. And I thought, well, an hour and negative 40, and the wind is, well, a lot. So, okay. So then we're trying to get back in the coach. Okay, we get the door open. All right, so we get everybody inside. And I'm sort of eagerly waiting to see how they respond. Was this good? Was this bad? Are you going to leave me here? And so they start peeling off their layers, and I see these giant Cheshire Cat grins. And they were like, this is what we came here for. Good, because that was on purpose. So we're only about maybe 30 minutes, 20 minutes from the Arctic Circle at this point, and it's starting to get a little bit darker, but we're still in those pastel colors. And as we continue back onto the road, I'm noticing that the wind is really picking up exponentially. And so it's really kind of pushing on the coach, and I'm noticing how much snow is in the road. There is quite a big snow berms that are on the road. And right now I can see, it's daytime. But as we continue to move down the road, these snow berms are growing in size. And this is concerning. So I start gauging and tracking where all these things are. I'm looking at my odometer, I'm figuring out where I am on the road, what milepost am I at? Because on my way back home, it's gonna be dark. So I'm trying to have a game plan. I'm like, if it continues to be this windy, these snow berms are gonna grow. And so as we continue down the road, there's this one particular area, in this whole area, there's reflectors everywhere. And because this area is prone to whiteout, those reflectors are really crucial tools in helping drivers figure out where they are on the road in a whiteout and ideally keep them on the road. And the Dalton Highway is known for having a pretty soft shoulder. And you want to stay away from that soft shoulder. And if you get too close to it, particularly in a heavier vehicle, your tires can get stuck in it. You go way too close to it, you can actually roll the vehicle. And we're in this, coming up to this particular section on the road where there are no reflectors, but there should be. And I'm noticing that there's 2 foot, 2.5 foot snow berms on the road, and they're taking up almost half the road. And so I'm having to move all the way around into the other lane to go around them, and I'm thinking, this is gonna be fun on the way back. And a trucker once told me, there's a lot of tall tales on the Dalton Highway on the Hall Road, and a trucker once told me that in this particular area, the reason that there were no reflectors was because in a really bad whiteout, a truck had rolled and unrooted all of them, and they never had been replaced. So this is kind of churning in my mind. And I'm like, okay, 98.1, okay. And tracking all these snow berms. So we get up to the Arctic Circle, and we pull into this pullout, and it's pretty protected there. There's trees there, there's outhouses there. We have hot cocoa, I brought it. I roll out the red carpet, and we have our official Arctic Circle crossing in style, and we're happy campers. But as a rookie, I spent way too much time at the Arctic Circle. We're there for like almost 2 hours. Way too long. Now, during this time, I don't hear any chatter on my CB radio, which should have been a little concerning. And I just didn't think anything of it at the time. So I round up all my kittens, get them back on the coach, and we start heading back down onto the road. And as soon as I pull out from the Arctic Circle onto the road to start heading south to go back to Fairbanks, firstly, it's dark, and secondly, I'm immediately hit with a whiteout. And I'm a little bit stunned because in that area that we were in at the Arctic Circle, I didn't realize how protected it was. And at the Arctic Circle, it was beautiful. All the stars were out. You know, we were like, we probably are gonna see the aurora. Stars are out. And as soon as I pull onto this road, we're just slammed with snow and wind and a really big hill. The first hill that you go up after you leave the Arctic Circle is called Beaver Slide. And most of the hills have earned their names during the Hall Road days, during the pipeline days. And this particularly poetic trucker named this hill, and he was at the place which I was at, on top of the Arctic Circle, looking south at Beaver Slide. And he described a vehicle that he saw, a big truck, completely lose control and start going back down that hill. And he said, you know, it was kind of like a beaver's tail patting its dam. Beaver Slide, 12% grade. So I need to get up this hill, and I need to do it in a whiteout and at night, and I need to stay in what I think is the center of the road. And on top of all these things, normally we kind of get it going so we can get some momentum to go up this hill. And I'm going about 5 miles an hour. And I'm like, okay, we can do it, okay. And we're starting to climb up this hill. And the really great thing about the modern day trucks and coaches that are on the road is they're a lot more powerful, they're a lot stronger, but they also have a lot of really fancy safety features. Like, if your engine gets too hot, it will automatically turn off. And I know this, and I learned this the hard way in training on a different hill. So I'm thinking about this, and I am keeping a very close eye on my meter as it goes into the very hot water. And I'm like, come on, baby, come on. We just need to get up this hill. Come on, come on. And so it keeps dipping, and it keeps dipping, and it keeps dipping, and you can hear the engine. And I'm like, oh, it's mad. It's so mad. And so we're like almost to the top. We're almost to the top, and it's dipping, and it's lower, and it's in the hot. And now it's very, very hot, and we're at the top. And I'm like, okay. Only like 190 more miles to go. And so as we continue to go down the road southbound, the wind is no longer whistling, it is howling. And the wind is no longer pushing against the coach, it is pitching the coach from side to side. We're like a little boat in a very big sea of snow. And from side to side we go. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put on a little movie. It's about little animals, and this will be great. I need to distract these guys. I cannot be talking right now. I need to be focused. So I put in my little movie. I tell them how great it's going to be. And within 5 minutes, they're like, excuse me, we're trying to concentrate. Can you turn off the film? Sure, you're trying to, me too. Okay. So I pop out the film, and I'm like, okay, these guys are nervous, this is bad. So as we continue to pitch down the road, I'm trying to recall back on where are those points on the road, where are these berms, and I'm where I think is the center of the road. Where I think. And so I'm like, okay, I'm in the center, I'm going, and I hear click, click. People are putting on their seatbelts. And I'm like, okay, this is good.
This is Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska, the Little Tour Bus That Could episode. I'm Rob Prince. Did you miss our November 2019 event? I'm sure you had a very good reason. That's why we're doing another event very soon on Saturday, February 29th. Yes, it's a leap year. And as always, and I mean always, we need your true stories from Alaska. You can reach out to us at darkwinternights.com. When we left Sarah's story, the passengers on her little tour bus were all buckling their seatbelts as she drove them headfirst into an epic blizzard on the haul road. Here's Sarah Manriquez.
So we keep going down further, and I am the only person on the road. There is no one else. And this is pretty unusual for the Dalton Highway. I mean, you're never alone on the road. And that night, I was alone. And there's really not much that we can do other than move forward. In a whiteout, you can't just pull over to the side, because if someone else was traveling on that road, you would be a huge, huge safety hazard. And so you have to keep moving forward. It's your only choice. And you know, I have a CB radio where I can kind of communicate, but it can only go so far. I also have a satellite phone, but you need to be outside to use it. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna keep going. And every time my radio crackles, everyone on the vehicle, I'm like, so here we go. And I'm going about 5 miles an hour. And with snow that's blowing that heavy, and when there's that much fresh snow on the road, your tires really spin in place as you're moving forward. So I'm going 5 miles an hour, but we might as well be going 1 mile an hour maybe at some points. And I'm trying to go as fast as I can safely. And at one point, I kind of see kind of a light, maybe, I don't know, and the radio is starting to crackle more, and there is a truck, and he is coming northbound, and I'm going southbound, and I'm like, okay, thank God, there's someone else here. And it occurs to me as we get closer and closer that we're gonna have to pass. So I'm not gonna worry about that yet, though. First, I'm not alone. One good thing. And so everyone's sort of like, listening in on this conversation as the radio starts to crackle a little louder, and he comes in and he goes, is anyone there? You there? I'm like, this is little tour bus. And he's like, how you doing there, little tour bus? We're doing pretty good. We're on the road, we're having a good time. how are you? So we kind of banter back and forth, and he's giving me kind of an update on weather. How far is this going to go? And I get the pleasant news that this is going to last us for quite a while, that we're in for a heck of a night. And as we get closer and closer, he also acknowledges that we need to pass. And he says, you know, I'm in the center of the road. I said, you know, me too, but we are not aligned. And that's a little concerning. So we're kind of offset, and I know when he passes me, I need to immediately get into his tracks because he has compacted all of the snow, and trucks are so much heavier than coaches. And so even that little bit of compaction of snow is going to help me maybe go 10 miles an hour. This is important. So I need to get in his track so I can just move a little more quickly and struggle a little less as we're going through these crazy winds. And so as he gets closer to us, he goes, hold it steady. And he starts coming, like, full speed ahead. And I'm like, okay. And I am going still about maybe four miles an hour. And the coach is pitching. The wind is howling. His truck is pitching. And the people sitting behind me on the driver's side kind of lean away from the window. I swear, if you were in that seat and there was not glass in the window, it felt like you could reach your arm out and just kind of touch it, which didn't make anyone feel super great. So as he starts to pass me, I start going. I need to accelerate. I need to get into those tracks. And so I get into the tracks as fast as I can. He gets on the radio. He wishes me luck. And he also lets me know. He goes, you know, little tour bus, there's a big one on back there just a little bit. And I'm like, okay, thank you. So to me, that meant way down the road, there was going to be a really big berm I should be concerned about. What he meant is I just came through a really big berm, and I almost went off the road, and it was really scary, and you're about to go through it now. And so little did I know, speeding off into his tracks, I was headed straight for the giant monster berm I had seen earlier. And this was the section that had no reflectors. And I go plummeting at about 10 miles an hour into a giant 3.5-foot pile of snow on the road. And I hit it like hitting concrete. And it comes up over the hood, splashes onto my windshield, and my front tire is anchored into it. And I'm like, okay. And before I can start to think, how am I going to get out of this? The coach starts to move. Because that tire was acting as a pivot point. And that wind that was pitching us was now swinging us. And it was slow, but it was steady. And I'm like, okay. Training, coming down. And I'm kind of like putting it to reverse and putting it into forward and trying to rock out of it and trying to break through it and trying to move my wheel. And everyone on the vehicle's like, and I'm like, okay, we're doing good. And as the vehicle starts to continue to swing, I can feel the first set of our back tires kind of flirt with that soft shoulder. And you can feel the change even through the tires, just the way that the snow feels underneath the vehicle. And so I can tell that we're getting into a soft area, and that's going to mean maybe two wheels in. And it's not like I can get out. I mean, earlier I could barely open the door. I think I might get lost if I go out now. So normally we have a shovel. Maybe I could dig myself out, but not when the weather's like this. And so I'm rocking and pushing and trying to break free of this thing, and I'm kind of breaking away. And as I'm starting to make this progress, I feel the inside of the second wheel start to go into that soft shoulder. And this is concerning. I'm alone, and I start to think, you know, what if I did roll? What does that mean? What does that look like? I mean, they're wearing seatbelts, that's good. But the reality is, no one would find us until that storm settled. We would roll off the road and we would just be there. And so I'm like, I need to get us out of this. And so as I start feeling that back inside tire start to slowly go off the road, I break us out of the berm and we start to move forward. And as we pull through the berm, I can feel both of those tires like coming back up onto the road. And I'm like, okay, good. Good progress. So this weather, this wind continues on for hours and hours and hours and miles and miles and miles until what should have been maybe a 2-hour stint ended up turning into like almost a 6.5-hour stint just for me to get near the Yukon River, which is about the halfway point. And once we start finally getting closer to the Yukon River, the trees get much bigger. I have one last big hill. It's called Roller Coaster. So we go all the way down in a whiteout, all the way back up, and then dropping off the backside of that is when the trees get big, and really big. And as we start going down the backside of that hill, the wind lifts up, and it stops snowing. And finally, we can see the sky, and we can see every single star in the night sky. And I'm like, okay. And as we start going down this hill, the aurora comes out. And it's fantastic. It's this huge, giant green band, and then it's two bands. And then it's three bands, and now it's purple, and now it's dancing, and now everyone in the coach is jumping up and putting on their winter gear and getting their tripods because they need to get off and they also need to see the aurora. So at the bottom of this hill, I knew that there was a nice place for me to pull over. And so I pull over and they are practically leaping off the vehicle almost before I can stop. And I needed a minute. So my hands are sort of like permanently encrusted around the steering wheel. And I'm just kind of sitting there. So they get off. And the two last guys who are in the back of the vehicle were actually, one drove the haul road back in the days of the pipeline. And they were both truck drivers who actively drove. And they walked up to me and they're laughing. And the one guy said, I'd like to shake your hand. And I shook his hand. And he said, the other guy said, you know, I wasn't sure if we were gonna make it. I wasn't sure if we were either. And the other guy said, you know, I've never seen anyone drive like that, thank you. And as we got them back on and headed back, that tour remains the longest tour I've ever been on. It remains the best group of people that I've ever had on a vehicle, such troopers. And it was a really good reminder that no matter how big or bad or impossible the storm is, you have to keep moving forward. Even if it's baby steps, even if they don't feel that big, you have to keep going forward. Because if you do, you will weather the storm. Thank you.
Sarah Manriquez. She shared that story at our November 2019 live event in Fairbanks. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska. Today's episode was edited by Ryan Peterson and myself, Rob Prince. Live audio recording by John Huff and Matt Hutter of Alaska Universal Productions. Story consultation by Lori Neufeld. Remember, these are the stories we tell up here in Alaska on Dark Winter Nights. I'm Rob Prince.